Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
All right, Lee Cantor here for a special edition of Atlanta Business Radio, where we're putting a spotlight on two of the leading associations and nonprofits in the city that are helping folks in a bunch of creative ways. And I'd like to lead off the show with Lisa Kennedy, and she is the Chief Development Officer with the Bobby Dodd Institute. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you.
Want to share a little bit about what the Bobby Dodd Institute is and how you guys are helping folks?
Well, at Bobby Dodd Institute, our mission is to help people with disabilities make permanent transitions into the workforce and achieve economic self-sufficiency.
And then disabilities, how is that defined?
Well, we help people with all types of disabilities and disadvantages, ranging from cognitive disabilities, physical disabilities, and including chronic illness, such as diabetes or lupus. We're really here to help people who have barriers to succeeding in the workforce.
What about addictions?
Yes.
Do you help them as well?
Absolutely.
So now, is there helping them in terms of getting over their whatever their issue is, or is it just the job placement function?
We're very focused on vocational rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, that means helping people gain the life skills that they need to manage whatever barrier they're facing in the workforce, whether it's a chronic illness or addiction or mental health issues. And to help them develop the work-related skills and the life management skills that enable them to be successful.
Now, could you walk us through what, like, the person has this affliction, are they, then they contact you, or do you work through other associations that maybe they point them to you? How do you get the people that are afflicted?
We do work with partners in the community and in state government mm-hmm. with the Department of Labor or other nonprofits to take referrals for people who really are ready to gain the skills and to develop the job and life skills they need to be successful.
Now, do you have a sweet spot in terms of skills that you teach?
Well, it depends on a person's strengths. Mm-hmm. The first thing that we do when a person comes to Bobby Dodd is to assess their strengths. And
so you do kind of an assessment where
right.
you see if they're good at math or they're good at speaking, public speaking.
Absolutely. And then we develop a job development plan for them based on what they're good at. And we really try to leverage a person's strengths mm-hmm. and so that they can be in a job that's aligned with those strengths, just as everyone needs to be, and be successful.
And so this isn't like you're sending them to get a GED or get college. This is to teach them a skill that they can, that where there's a job opening for that skill?
Well, it really depends on the person, what their skills are when they come to Bobby Dodd. For about 80 to 90% of our clients have never worked before they came to Bobby Dodd.
Like never worked?
Never worked at all. But some of our clients may have college degrees. It really depends on uh-huh. the person. But our role is to help them leverage their strengths and then to connect them with community employers or with one of our own social enterprises for a job that's well aligned with what they'd like to do.
So you have your own kind of industries that you guys are actually created yourself in order to employ the people that you help.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty self-sufficient then on your part.
We try to be as self-sufficient as possible. In any given year, our earned revenue versus fundraising varies, but typically 80 to 90% of our revenue each year is generated through earned income.
Wow, that you've created yourself.
Absolutely.
Through organizations.
Absolutely, through our social enterprises mm-hmm. or through providing rehabilitation services.
Now, let's take this hypothetical person. They have an affliction or they're referred to you by some government agency and they said, oh, check out the Bobby Dodd Institute. They come to you. You sit them down. You put them through this battery of tests and to assess their skills. Then what happens?
Well, when a person with a disability comes to Bobby Dodd, that, like you said, they're first assessed for their strengths, and then in collaboration with the case management specialist, they would develop a job plan and with goals for their future employment. And then they would begin in job training. For a person who's never worked, they might work in our packaging and fulfillment business uh-huh. where we work with various businesses in the company, in the community, if they have packaging and fulfillment needs. So our clients would be paid for that work while they're in job training and developing their skills. And then if they have a special interest or aptitude for something like janitorial services or landscaping or call centers,
right,
they would go into a specialized job training program aligned with those goals. And then once they were ready for the workforce, they would begin working closely with a job placement specialist who would help them connect with a community employer or with one of our own social enterprises. We have businesses that include janitorial services, landscaping, administrative services, and call centers.
Now, I'm sure that there's each of those jobs require certain skills, but some of them are kind of softer skills, like showing up on time, you know, not doing something you're not supposed to do, and behaving properly. Is there coaching in that area as well?
Absolutely. When a person with disabilities starts in job training, those are the very skills that we really focus on for the 80 to 90% who have never worked. If you haven't worked before, you may not have those skills to know that you take a break at a certain time. And to learn to take supervision, that's an important part of succeeding in the workforce,
right,
and to get along with your coworkers and to enjoy the social aspects of work. That's very important to quality of life. You know, we are very much defined by the work that we do, and helping people with disabilities get into the workforce really expands their quality of life and access to opportunities.
Now, can you share maybe some stories about some success stories that you've had where you've taken somebody who's never worked before and then now that they are more self-sufficient?
Oh, we have worked with so many people who, you know, if they come to us and they haven't worked before, they're very often depressed because they've been disconnected from society, and you know, they get it. They go through job training, they get that job, and their life is really transformed. One person who came to us has worked with us for many years. She had been unemployed. She went through our Office Essentials training program, mm-hmm, and she just couldn't get an interview. She had lost three limbs, and employers were very resistant to hiring her, even though she was extremely capable. And
right,
so she went through our Office Essentials program, gained a job in working in a switchboard, and now she's a supervisor and owns her own home.
Wow.
So it's really, we really want to help people get into the workforce and then advance. We have, for people who have been employed for a year or more, we help them develop career plans to figure out where they want to go. If you're 42 and you're working in landscaping, that may not be the best trajectory for you,
right,
you know, if you want to
right,
remain
as
in
you
the
get
workforce.
Older, sure.
Absolutely.
Because it's so physically demanding.
Right.
So then, so you stay connected with them through their whole job career, Tom?
Well, people who need that support, we're there to provide it. If you hired a person with disability and they needed ongoing support, if you were going to change their job duties, mm-hmm, and they needed support in that, we would be there to provide that.
Now, it sounds like you work with some companies around town to help them with their labor issues by giving, you know, training people so that they're ready to work in their whatever their specific needs are.
We really enjoy working with community employers and provide support when they want to recruit very talented people for,
right,
and people who will be committed to the jobs and to the company. We have a 92% job retention rate for the people that we connect with employers.
Mm-hmm.
AutoTrader.com has been a wonderful partner for Bobby Dodd Institute. Convergent Outsourcing was our employer of the year just this past year. Publix has been a longtime partner.
Right. Like I was going to mention, like Publix and I think Kroger also has a program like that, where these people seem to have some sort of disability, but they show up, they're very friendly, they know how to do the task that they're you know, supposed to do, and they're great at it.
Absolutely. Very committed employees, really really excelling and advancing once
right,
they're in the workplace. Convergent Outsourcing is a call center company that has hired many of our clients to be very successful in those jobs.
So do you feel your role in the community is to kind of be this, it's almost like a middleman to help the people with these disabilities? You're kind of like vouching for them, where the company may not be able to, you know, handle one at a time like this, but you're training them and you're getting them ready for the workforce. And then this company wants to help and support this cause so they can contact the Bobby Dodd Institute. and you guys will provide a person. If that person doesn't work out, you can provide another person, right?
Absolutely. Our goal is to make the right match,
right,
and to really match a person's skills with the employer's needs and to make sure that that match is successful for both. We have an internship program where we pay the prospective employee's salary for the first 6 weeks that they work for the company to make sure that it is the right
fit.
Match, that the skills match, that the expectations match. But we really like to help companies that are looking for great employees, and we have the experience to identify and develop the skills that will make them successful. We have our own experience in job development and in running businesses, so we found that we have some good experience to leverage in helping companies find the right employees.
Now, can you talk a little bit about the history of the Bobby Dodd Institute?
Sure.
Like, how did it, what was the thought process of getting it started, and how long has it been around?
Well, we were started by volunteers about 40 years ago. About 40 years ago at an organization that's now called All About Developmental Disabilities. And we were a very entrepreneurial program, developing the packaging fulfillment work. And about 22 years ago, we spun off as our own organization. We really were interested in serving people with all types of disabilities,
right,
and growing the jobs that we could directly provide. So we've been an independent organization since about 1989, and have really grown.
And it was always called the Bobby Dodd Institute at that point?
We were initially called Bobby Dodd Industries, mm-hmm, and then we changed our name to Institute as we expanded the range of services and the long-term supports that you mentioned. And we have really become more of a career services-oriented institute rather than an industry-focused organization.
And then how is Bobby Dodd involved, or is Georgia Tech involved?
Well, we have a very close relationship with Georgia Tech in that our alumni have been so supportive, particularly alumni football players who
right,
worked with, who played for Coach Dodd. And we have a great relationship with the Tech letter winners. But we have never been a part of Tech, but we are very proud of that association with Bobby Dodd.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is your role in the company as chief development officer? What does that entail? Are you out there trying to find corporations to partner with? Are you trying to find more government agencies to find more people to train?
Well, my role is really focused on fundraising and external communications, really helping to reach out to people in the community to let them know what we do, whether it's to help them find, we can help them with their janitorial services or their landscaping services, or if they're looking for great employees, really just to build relationships and make connections so that our clients can succeed and the companies we work with can succeed. And also generating philanthropic resources that enable us to do the special initiatives such as internships.
Mm-hmm.
And services that really provide a full scope of support for people who are looking to make that transition into the workforce.
Now, do you need more trainees or do you need more opportunities?
Well, job placement has been a great challenge during the recession, of course, when the economy is struggling and job opportunities aren't there, our clients are the first to let go and the last to be hired.
Mm-hmm.
People with disabilities now face an unemployment rate of about 70%.
Wow.
So job opportunities, we're always excited about building relationships to create those pathways into the workforce.
And was that one of the drivers for you to have your own industry so that you can kind of manage that, you can control that a little bit?
The internship program and the growth in our own social enterprises has really made a tremendous difference in the opportunities we're able to generate. Because in our businesses, we are able to create accommodating and supportive work environments for instance, for someone with a chronic illness who may feel great for a few months and then
right,
struggle. So we're able to provide that ongoing support and at the same time run very successful businesses that continue to grow and create new job opportunities.
Right. Now, when you're working with these people, if you're a corporation, are there tax benefits for working with you, or am I getting an employee just like I would get an employee somewhere else?
I'm not I don't want to get out of my depth on this, but I believe that there are tax benefits for companies that, for instance, hire a veteran with a disability.
Mm-hmm. And so you work with veterans as
we
well?
We do. We do. We actually have a long history of working with veterans, and we partner with the VA Medical Center in Decatur and operate their switchboard. We operate a call center in Bobby Dodd Institute that employs veterans with disabilities.
And then so the benefit of a company partnering with you is that you're kind of doing the vetting and you're doing the preliminary training and you make it kind of risk-free to hire somebody.
Absolutely. We can do recruitment, job training, job placement, matching, manage all the phases of the process to make it very easy for a company to gain the employees they're looking for.
Now, if a community business wanted to partner with you, what is the path and what would be the right company to partner with you?
Well, we have been successful across all industries in connecting people with disabilities. It really just depends on the clients we're working with at any given moment and the job opportunities available, because our goal is always to make the right match. You know, just because we have a client who needs a job in a company that's right. looking to hire, it has to be the right match.
Now, you mentioned, like, landscaping, and you mentioned, like, the work at Publix, the bagging and things like that. Can you create a training program if a company has a need for a certain type of work? Can they contact you and say, hey, I think this kind of work might be appropriate for some of the people in your group? Can we work out a training program where you kind of do the preliminary training and you build that so that then you're my supplier for that need?
We can absolutely do that. We've been very successful doing that with, for example, with companies that need call center agents uh-huh. and janitorial services. And really any market for good jobs for people with disabilities, we can partner with the company to create the right relationship for their needs.
So it's very kind of symbiotic where they have a need and they're kind of working with you and you're kind of their training arm in some respects to get the flow of employees they need as they scale.
Absolutely. We're very flexible and agile in adapting to employers' needs because our goal is always the ultimate success of the employee and the company they work for.
Right. And you want them to have a path where they continue to grow and be successful.
Advancement is a core goal. And once you're in the job force, you really want to advance and to continue to challenge yourself. And we've definitely adapted and grown our programs through philanthropy right. in particular to provide those opportunities to our clients.
All right. If somebody wanted to learn more, is there a website for you guys?
Our website is BobbyDodd.org, and we have a staff that's available to help with job placement or job training or really would love to learn more about a company's interests.
So companies can go there, but also individuals, like if somebody has a relative or somebody that is looking for help, then they can get information there as well?
Absolutely, and we can help connect them with other community resources.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Do you mind hanging out with us for a little bit when we get to our next guest?
Great. Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have Gary Marshall, the president of JCI, which is the Junior Chamber International Atlanta office. And he brought with him Trevor Smith. Welcome, guys.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about JCI International? And I believe there's another name for this that maybe people are more familiar with.
Sure, I'll take that. This is Gary. JCI Atlanta is the world, or JCI rather, Junior Chamber International, is the world standard name. Anyone in the U.S. is probably more familiar with our organization as the JCs. JCs have been around. It was actually founded in the U.S. and has been around, you know, for nearly 100 years.
We've been in Atlanta for a little over 80.
For 80 years?
Mm-hmm. Well, since 1921.
Now,
my math is bad.
That's not good in your profession. Now, the Junior Chamber International, is that a subset of the chamber, like the Metro Chamber, or is that a separate organization altogether?
We're actually a completely separate organization. We have, and in certain parts of the country, our chapters do partner up with the local chambers. We have had a relationship in the past with the Metro Chamber, and they actually still refer us candidates who fit within our profile.
And when this is for junior, like, well, how do you define junior? What is the age range?
We look for people under the age of 40, typically 21 to 40.
And then at 40, like, you send them off.
They send them on their way. They just
like
no
on an
more.
Ice flow. Oh, yeah. Right.
Well, our organization is a great stepping stone, and, mm-hmm. and a lot of our members, you know, once they do reach the age of 40, they'll go on to, you know, either other organizations or, you know, they've gotten so busy within their career, you know, they're more focused on that.
Now, so I got over there, Kevin Finn, he's 20-something, 5.
Perfect for our fit.
Perfect yep. guy for you, right? Yep. Now, how do you recruit your members?
I constantly talk. no. So we are, again, we're a young professionals. It's a lot of people come to us for the community development portion of it. Some people come just to meet. Like, so say you're new to Atlanta, and you and this, right. this has happened so many times this year. Somebody comes to Atlanta, they've heard about the JCs through their whatever city they came from.
Sure.
And we're the first group they look up. And they come and make new friends. And it's a big social thing for a lot of people. For myself and Gary, it's a social and business aspect for it. And then, again, some people just join for community development.
And then, but they're joining in order to meet other young professionals like themselves. They come here, they want to plug in, they want to know where, you know, what kind of get the lay of the land of the city that they're in.
Right. right? So they'll join. We have business owners that join. Maybe they're looking to hire new folks.
Right.
We have other people coming into town looking for jobs. And then myself, I'm looking for business owners to do business with. So it's a conglomeration of everything.
So there's,
but it's a good fit.
So there's an actual business networking where business gets done element to this.
Correct.
And then is there an education component where you can learn new skills, or is that part of the mission as well?
Sure. That's one of the great things about JCI and the JCs is the fact that we are very well balanced organizations. I mean, there are a lot of great organizations out there, especially in Atlanta. But with us, because we offer so many different components like networking and community involvement, and you know, we have a lot of social aspects to it. We take trips, you know, we do a lot of fun things. We do a lot of educational workshops, personal development events. Like recently, we've done some golf group lessons, and we've done wine tastings, and we've done goal setting workshops and how to buy a home workshops, things of that nature.
So these are, and so you have meetings. How often are the meetings?
So this month is a perfect example for our group. We have a happy hour once a month, kind of just a social mixer. We'll get together at different restaurants throughout the city. That will be once a month. We have a community development project once a month that's coming up this Saturday. It's a call Wish for Wendy with Andy Lippman. It's a cystic fibrosis fundraiser, huge thing. We're going to be playing some softball. And so our members will either play softball or they come in to volunteer and just help with the event. We have our general membership meeting where we'll have a industry professional come and speak to us, kind of give us their background. We had the CEO of the Weather Channel last month come and talk to us. We've got the Susan G. Komen, is the president of Susan G. Komen, coming for our state elections in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do events like that throughout. And then again, the personal development, like we have beer tasting coming up. We went in the golf outing, stuff like that.
Now, in the general meeting where the speaker is that where the business networking takes place mostly?
The business networking is never turned off.
It's 24/7.
You know, the happy hours, the drinking, the general memberships, even the community development. You actually, you know, you correspond and you reach with people and you get to know them better outside of business, and you actually want to do business with them because you get to know them better.
Now, Trevor, how did you get involved in this personally?
Met a pretty girl and got sucked
that's
in.
It.
Yeah.
That's how it works? So you send out pretty girls out trolling
they did,
for members?
Yeah, they got me. So what I did, and a lot of people do this, I went to a community development where we went to Atlanta, the Atlanta Zoo, and volunteered and helped them.
So you
do.
Weren't a member at that time?
No, I was not a member, but I went to their event and just volunteered. So, wow, this is a really cool group of people.
Right.
I want to learn more. And so I went to the happy hour, and they hooked me. So I was done. I think I joined last October and was on the board as a executive vice president in November.
So there's a path to move up pretty quickly in this group.
You could say that, yeah.
There can be if you have interest. There's a lot of leadership opportunities for those that seek that.
Now, Gary, as the president of the group, what are your main challenges?
Wow.
Putting up with me.
Yeah. First and foremost. We have, you know, we have a very big board. We have, you know, a good bit of members. So, you know, my main responsibility is just to oversee the board and the overall leadership of the group and just sort of to make sure that the ship is steered in the right direction. I guess some of the bigger challenges would be, you know, because we are young professional and and very busy, and you know, there's a lot of changes that go on in our lives. People move, people get promoted, you know, people start families, you know, so we do have some natural attrition, and just to make sure that, you know, whenever we do have a gap, that, that that's filled very quickly and we're able to keep moving forward.
Now, do you, is your member, are your members mainly inside the perimeter, outside, are they all over the place?
Yeah, I would
mostly inside the perimeter, obviously, because that's the attraction for the younger folks living in Midtown, Buckhead, that kind of thing. But we do have OTP folks as well. They come in, and then
from the suburbs,
they'll sometimes complain when some of our events are too far south, or you know, something like that.
Now, Gary, is that are you constantly on the lookout of getting new members? Is that one of your biggest challenges?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a challenge. I mean, it actually, to me, it seems pretty easy. You know, you just find young professionals who are sort of the movers and shakers of the community, and you go about recruiting them just like you would go about, you know, selling a product, you know, within your company. So,
and it, what's your value proposition? If you were trying to get Kevin over there to join, what would you be, how would you pitch him?
Sure. Well, I would tell Kevin, you know, has, first of all, I'd ask him if he heard of us, and if not, I would give him a little bit of information
on
who we
Kevin,
are.
Go ahead, Kevin, turn on your mic. Let's see him try to sell you on this.
All right. Fun.
Yes, I have heard of the JCs. My cousin in Ohio is part of the JCs in Ohio.
Okay. And have you thought about checking the organization out yourself?
I haven't. I actually never knew what it was. She would just call it the JCs, and they would do stuff, and there was the junior JCs and all this other stuff. So I had no idea what it was whatsoever until I came in today and saw your card.
Okay. Well, great. Well, we'd love to have you come check out an event. You know, I don't know when you might be available, but we do about 5 to 7 events a month.
Okay.
Guests are, you know, welcome at most any of the events that we have. We have a very nominal membership yearly fee of only $99 for the entire year.
Okay.
So it's not going to hit your pocketbook too hard. But what I would encourage you to do is at least come out and check out an event or two, and get a chance to meet some of the members and the guests and see if it's a good fit for you. How's that sound?
That sounds great. Yeah.
Well, a lot of companies will actually pay for that. They'll pay for the membership.
Oh, now you're swinging back to me.
I'm just saying. Yeah. A lot of companies will pay for the membership because they want their folks involved in, you know.
Different. Yeah. All right.
Where's and why my, do I want my folks involved? What's in it for
the,
me?
The pretty girls.
So our next event is tonight. We're actually hosting our local elections tonight. We're having a happy hour at Park Tavern. Okay. It's going to be from 6 to 9. I would welcome you to come out, and we'll be doing a little bit of networking beforehand, probably about an hour and a half or so, and then we'll all go upstairs, and we'll do our local elections. So we'll see you there at 6.
That sounds like a plan.
Great.
You better show up now.
First drink's on me.
There you go. You had a free drink from Trevor.
Sold.
Now, so that's how this thing works. You, as you meet people, you just make them aware of what it is. And the benefit for them is to kind of plug into the business world and be around peers that are, you know, kind of ambitious and like-minded. Is that
actually accurate? I'd say the majority of folks who are involved, it's not even the business aspect. This is just more of a fun, here's my friends, this is who I hang out with on the weekends. I mean, there's a solid group of us every weekend. I'll get a mass text, hey, what are you guys doing this weekend? We'll just, even if it's not official events, we'll still hang out.
Right. Well, and that, go ahead, Gary.
No, I was just going to say that's what I truly love about the organization, is what's gotten me so involved, is the fact that, you know, there are a lot of organizations out there, and let me tell you, I've been out there and I've networked them, and I've, you know, I've been involved at one point in a lot of different organizations. But the thing that drew me into JCI Atlanta was the fact that they are so well balanced, and you don't have people there that are just for the networking or just for the community service or just for the social aspect. It's a great blend because everyone has different reasons of joining.
Right.
But the neat thing about it is, you know, you don't have to necessarily have one or the other. You can really balance it with our organization.
And then the meetings that are occurring, it sounds like these aren't the ones that you're like dreading. Like everybody's been to, you know, you're part of a networking group and you're like, oh, great. You know, it's the third Wednesday of the month. I got to go over there.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, I've never actually experienced that, but I have with some other ones. Right. So.
Now, how did you, let's talk, Gary, a little bit about your history with the group. You're the president. How did you get involved and why did you, you know, put the time in to become the president? Because that is a big responsibility.
Sure. Well, I joined JCI Atlanta just for the reasons I just spoke of, because it was such a well-balanced, and I really enjoy being involved in the community and being able to give back. Like, I was at the Zoo Atlanta event, you know, and that was a great event. We've done We typically do at least one community service type of event every month. And to me, that's the very rewarding part of it. Mm-hmm. So that's what sort of got me involved. And then I actually chaired a young professional organization in my hometown, OTP, and had a pretty good experience with that. It was something that I really built from the ground up and you know, was pretty successful with it. And then it changed over every year. So this time last year, it was in the process of changing over leadership, and the JCI Atlanta president opportunity presented itself, and I decided, you know, that would be a good fit to further my nonprofit career.
And that's obviously important to both of you, is to have a business career but also have a give back to the community component. Is that, do you find that amongst the other members?
Oh, definitely. Obviously, myself, I set up the softball tournament this weekend. I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. I personally know people with cystic fibrosis and really looking forward to raise money for that purpose and help further that. And we did Project Open Hand. We went and passed out meals to people who just needed it. So we drove around the city and meeting people, handing them free meals. They were just so happy to get it. And it's just a fun event. And it really, it's more a benefit for us than them. I got more of a pleasure just being there, you know, right, seeing them smile and that kind of thing. And it's just stuff like that what we do every month that really gives back to yourself. And it sounds selfish, but it's really not. It's just more of a, it makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm. Now, Gary, you mentioned the event tonight. And if people want to learn more about other events, what's the website?
The website is jciatlanta.org.
jciatlanta.org. And that's the JCs. It's the same thing,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
Some people call it JCs and some people call it JCI.
Correct. And we're on Meetup and Facebook and LinkedIn. And, I mean, there's, if you want to find us, you can basically Google Young Professionals and we're on the first page.
Cool. Now, I'd like to get Lisa back in here, and I'd like to talk, if we can, a little bit in a roundtable fashion about some of the challenges when you are the president or you're running an association or a nonprofit with this tough economy. How have you guys, like, kind of navigated the economy, you know, when there's a lot of people that are out there that are looking for work and looking for opportunities, and there just aren't the opportunities out there that they would like. So how do you guys help your constituency in that way?
My cousin, case in point, she recently lost her job and went on unemployment. Mm-hmm. Well, for unemployment, you have to be looking for a job, you know, all the time. And so she was able to go to one of our events and put it towards one of her job search points, or I'm not sure how that works, but she has to, you know, go out there and look for jobs. And actually one of our events go towards job searching because it's networking. So that is one thing that's kind of boosted our...
So when you're like applying for unemployment, that's one of the things they're asking you to do, is to have proof that you're searching for
right,
a job.
Right.
And so your networking events are proof that's
correct,
showing that you're trying.
Yeah. And I get people all the time that are coming in just specifically looking for jobs. And, you know, typically they'll send over their resume and what they're looking for. And I've been very fortunate to be able to help, you know, several individuals find employment.
Now, Lisa, I know your organization's a little different, but if there are people that want to look for jobs, isn't kind of volunteering for your group a way that they can kind of hone their skills and network with people that could possibly hire them?
We do certainly value our volunteers, and many volunteers find that it's a way to demonstrate commitment to community organizations is something that employers are looking for,
right,
when it reflects the values of their company. We have a range of volunteer opportunities. People can come in and conduct mock interviews for clients who are ready to go in the workforce. If you have experience in an area such as banking, you might teach a budgeting seminar for our clients, or financial management, or Dress for Success. So we really value the contributions that our volunteers make, and it really helps them to stay connected with the workforce and the community while they may be searching for their next opportunity. The main challenge we found is that there's just so much competition now for people's attention and their
right,
time, and we really want to help make connections with people so that we can help them act on their values, and whether it's employing one of our clients or contributing to our mission or volunteering their time.
So I guess this is true with both of your groups, that you are looking for kind of these collaborative opportunities where, like you mentioned, Trevor, the cystic fibrosis group, right, that they were running a nonprofit. You guys can plug in there and you can help them raise money, but it's also something that's benefiting your group.
Right. Yes. So Andy Lippman, the founder, came and was actually one of the speakers for our general membership meeting. Mm-hmm. He's written a book. Great guy. Look him up.
Right.
But yeah, it definitely, you know, he comes to us, speaks to our members, and then we actually go out there and have fun and raise money for them at the same time.
Right. So it's a win-win for both of you.
Right. Georgia Camp for the Blind. We did that earlier this summer. Put on a big party, and all the I think all the proceeds went to Georgia Camp for the Blind.
Yeah, we raised over $11,500 for them this year.
Wow.
In one event.
So were you aware of this association? You guys can, is there ways that you two can work together?
Well, we do actively participate in the chamber. I actually was not very aware of your organization, but would love to learn more about it. We have some employees at Bobby Dodd Institute who might be interested in participating, and would love to help you create some volunteer opportunities for your members.
Okay, sounds good.
That'd be great. And if they leave the city of Atlanta, we are in over 110 different countries. We're the third largest nonprofit organization in the world.
Wow. Good stuff. So once again, Gary, why don't you share the website?
Excuse me?
Can you share the website for the JCs?
Yes, it's jciatlanta.org.
And Lisa, one more time?
We're at bobbydodd.org.
Good stuff. Well, thank you all for being part of the show. This is Lee Cantor for Atlanta Business Radio. We will see you all next time.
Thank you, Lee.
Thanks.